Hello, I'm Brent.
And I'm Dan.
Welcome to the journey.
We're glad to have you back with us. This is Isolation Part 2. I don't know how many parts there will be. Plenty of parts or a few parts.
There you go.
We're glad to have you back with us. We thank you for listening to the podcast, and I hope that so far these have been a blessing to you. It has been a blessing for us to share. We only want to do what Father wants us to do. Tonight we're talking about isolation in the beautiful, beautiful town
of luscious trees and mud puddles.
That's right. Greenfield, Tennessee, sitting in our little studio garage.
Northwest Tennessee.
That's right. With a potbelly stove with a log of fire on it, and it's really warm in here. It's going to be a cold night tonight, but that's okay.
That's right.
Well, I'm sure we're breaking some podcast rules, but that's okay, too. We left off with the isolation and why God isolates you. We want to talk about the emotions that go on in the isolation because you're going to feel so alone. Is that not true?
Yeah.
You're going to feel like no one understands, nobody knows. All the people, here's the sad part, Brent. About the isolation thing. What the isolation does is expose who the people were previous.
Yeah, that's true.
Because once you walk away from what their system is, they disown you.
Well, the love is gone and words start floating around about heretic.
Oh, yeah, he's done slipped. He done lost his salvation. I don't know what happened to that brother. He was doing so good.
He's lost his way.
He has. Maybe we need to send a committee to go out and visit with him. Is that not right, though?
It is. It's true.
And it's really no difference, or no different than someone that has to go to rehab.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've always done something a certain way. You've gotten used to it, made it part of your life. It has ingrained in you. And then here you have an encounter with God, and he says, I want to call you out of that. I have a special task for you to do, and you can't do it there. You have to do it outside of where you were. Now, is it unreasonable for God to do?
Well, it's effective. Look what's happened with us in 6 years, 7 years.
Right. Yeah, we're starting our seventh year, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
Well, think about it. Moses had it made. If Moses never left Egypt, he had it made.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened to him? God called him out. He called him out. And where's the first place he went? He left Egypt. He went and was out and gone. He was out in the wilderness, in the desert. And I want to encourage you, if you're on the journey in the point of the isolation, there's a good PDF book by Ken Copey, Ken and Hilda Copey, on the website. You can download it. It's under the downloadables. And you need to download that and read that.
Yeah, it's a good book.
It is. I love it. I love the book. Ken and Hilda are wonderful people, too, and they really walk with Father. So you're isolated, but God, what God is doing in this isolation time, Brent, I think it's exposing falsehood. It is exposing something that is not real. Oh, Brother Dan, how can you get that? Jesus said, you have forsaken me for the traditions of men.
Yeah.
And what is it? You know, what is the traditions of men?
Doing all that they've always done.
Yeah.
I mean, following the same program.
That's right. And it all actually trickled down. We can go back and trace it historically. If you'll look, the sermon sandwich and others come from the Catholic Church, Episcopalian, Lutherans, and all that. They're so traditionally structured. So Father is isolating you to pull you out of that, to show you it's not about what you do and how you do it. It's just about being with him.
About who you are in his, from his perspective. Not what man says.
That's right. And being isolated gives you a lot of time
to sort out the identity.
Right. Because, oh, that's great. I'm glad you brought that up. Because we identify by who we affiliate with.
That's right.
And the intent of Father was never for us to identify by anybody else other than Him.
That's right.
Now, I can prove that. In the scriptures, Jesus looks to Peter and says, "Who do you say I am?" Mm-hmm. And then he tells him, and he says, "Blessed art thou," you know the rest of the verse, "flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you." And so Peter saw him for who he really was at that moment. Mm-hmm. He was the Messiah. And this is a time in the isolation what God is doing, He's going to clear your vision up. You know?
Yeah.
He's going to pull and cut and yank and pull those things out of your life that has hindered you from simply walking in a one-on-one relationship with Him.
Kind of like what you've said before about Paul on the road to Damascus.
Oh, yeah. I got that from Francis Frangipan. You want me to share it?
Yeah.
For you listening, Paul was on the road to Damascus. But we missed that. It's a play on words. But God really wants to de-mask us and to expose ourselves that spiritually so we see who we are, because it's easy to hide behind a church. That's one reason for the isolation. Who or what could Jesus hide behind? What could John the Revelator, where was John preaching? Where does the Bible say? In the wilderness. Mm-hmm. And guess what? They went to the wilderness to hear John preach. David said about the wilderness, he said, "Oh, such a beautiful place, a paradise." Mm. Now, how can you have a paradise in the wilderness? It's because that's where he met Father. Mm-hmm. And you know, go ahead. You get a thought on that.
The only thing I was going to say is that might not have been his first thought when he first got there. But after spending time and understanding and learning the relationship with Father, then it turns it into a gold mine, doesn't it?
It does. Here's the other reason, and I just kind of keyed off of that. Here's the other reason about, and you're going to jump on this and roll with it. God isolates you to change your concept of time with Him. Mm-hmm. It's not about, we've got to hurry up and get these things done. It's not, well, I've got to get, you know, I used to do this. I was a vacation Bible school director, and I hated it because I'm having to force people to commit to do something. You know, vacation Bible school used to be a week.
Yeah. Sure did.
They've managed to do it in a day.
Yeah. An afternoon.
Revivals, Brush Harbor meetings, and camp meetings sometimes would go 2 and 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. We can do a revival in a weekend.
Yeah.
And feel good about it.
Exactly.
You know, I was always against revivals. You know why? Because what they wanted to do was revive dead people.
Exactly.
You know, but they never got revived. It just made them feel good. And so God has isolated you to teach you that your relationship with Him and your journey is over the period of your rest of your life. For the first time in your life, for the first time, Brent, in your life and in my life, I have to be willing, oh, this is a good one. We had a long conversation on this, to surrender. Mm-hmm. When you surrender your rights, that means you yield them over to someone else. You are not your own. Now, I'm not speaking out of line with Scripture.
No.
You were bought with a price. And so what Father wants to do, if you're on the journey, you're in the isolation stage, surrender. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine," referring to His Father.
Yeah.
"Be done." Mm-hmm. And so what Father has to do is to get you ready so you can receive what He has coming.
Yeah.
It's painful. It hurts. It's lonely. But you think, oh, I can't do this. Oh, I just don't know. And then you let me show you how you know you're in a good place, Brent. This is good. Well, I'm gonna get my sister. So I can't. What Sister Betty's voice on? Well, I tell you what, Brother Brent. When you get enough of this foolishness, you just come on back. We'll welcome you with warm, loving arms. We'll take you back in, and we'll fully restore you to the status that you were prior to you walking away from us. And they feel good about it.
Yeah.
That's the sad thing.
They'll bring you back to the emptiness with no answers.
You're absolutely right. And they feel good about that. They think they're doing something good.
Yeah. Well, bless their heart, man. That's all they've ever known. It's all they've ever seen. It's all they're ever going to do unless Father starts tapping on their shoulder.
That's right. And I'm not making fun of them. I feel sorry. I really, it breaks my heart, because if Father hadn't tapped me out, I would be just like they are now.
Where would we be?
We would be where we were.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And it's no different. Look here. It's no different than someone being saved. You know, unless, and I know I may get some emails on this, but I'm going to tell you, this is emphatically true. And it is the will of God that all men be saved. It's scripture said he would have all men saved and come into the knowledge of the truth.
Right.
Will all men be saved? No, they won't. We know that because historically there's people, now Jesus used parable, but we know there's folks that's in hell. If that wasn't true, why in Revelation would it say, and the dead and hell and the seas delivered at the dead which were in them, and hell delivered at the dead which were in it?
Right.
And they stood before God, and the great white throne, and the books were open. Another book was open, and they were judged every man according to their works. Mm-hmm. So we know that that's true. But in this isolation process, there's so many things going on, isn't it?
Yeah.
There really is. Is there something you wanted to add to that?
Well, the wilderness or isolation is a place where the debriefing process begins.
That's right.
And you think about things and you see Father moving, and then you look back at where you were coming, where you were from, and you see the difference.
Right. Well, go with this for a moment. His name was Saul. On the road to Damascus, what was covered over his eyes? You remember?
Scales.
Scales. He couldn't see. God had to take his vision in order to give him a new one, a new vision. And then we know that he goes to the wilderness and he studies there. I believe it was 3 years. And he makes the other disciples or apostles mad because he said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to me. See, their revelation came from Jesus directly.
Right.
His revelation came from the Holy Spirit. He taught him there. And like you said, we're decluttering. God is going to start pulling that stuff out of you.
Start washing our... We really do need a brainwashing. You know?
No, you're right. That's what's needed.
And that's what happens.
And that's what he does.
Yes.
He's going to strip everything away from you. He's not going to hurt you. Don't think that. But he's taking all that guile, all that religion, that's a process that's going to be removed in the isolation time.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets to a point where you're going to have to give up, surrender, give up, and say, okay, God, here it is. I don't know what all you want, but whatever it is, you can have it, because I'm out here, I'm with you. Now, here's what comes out of that, or this is what came out of it for me. When I came to a realization and a feeling, and I know people say, well, you can't operate on feelings. You know, I feel his presence all the time with me. Wherever I go, he's there. Because he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Right.
But I feel the words that he said. I don't just read them.
Right. Well, you're experiencing them.
I've had an experience.
And what happens when you've had an experience? A man with an experience is not at the mercy of a man with an argument.
That's right.
So they can call me a heretic if they want to, but I'm getting it straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, see, when I left the institution, I was Southern Baptist, and I walked away from it. Not that they have a list, a blacklist in the association. The director of missions is not even the same one that's there now. But once you do that, they excommunicate you. Mm-hmm. I mean, to the point, they're courteous out in public, but they don't want anything to do with you. I had one man that was very supportive of me. I don't want to mention his name because I don't want reprisals to come on him in this area.
Right.
He was very supportive. And here I am. Now, let's go back to the person that's listening, that's in a state, that's in the isolation stage now. They're sitting there and thinking, there's no one. What do I do? Because I feel like I'm all alone. That's okay. Be alone for a while. Take the word, study it, pray, ask Father to show you, and then let him love you. Now, here's the other thing he does in isolation stage. He's changing your hearing.
Mm-hmm.
How you hear him. He's changing your vision, how you see him. He's changing your thinking, how you think about him. God does not operate in a box that we put him in.
Right.
You know, there's no box that can contain dynamite when the stick is lit. Is it?
Right.
You can build a bigger box you want, it's going to explode.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we have a gracious Father that knows exactly where you are. And he is there with you. But he's changing how we sense him, is he not?
Yeah, he turns it around to the point where if you draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. If you seek me, you'll find me. And in those quiet times when you're alone, doesn't that drive you back to him?
Right.
And then he starts tweaking, like you said, the way we hear him, the way we see him, you know, the whole...
Oh, yeah.
The whole thing.
Yeah, it's like a friend of mine told me this. I'm not going to mention his name. A former drug addict told me this. He said there are certain drugs you could take and see the prettiest colors you've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And that's what he does. He changes everything about you. But here's the good news. I was going to try to stay away from this, Brent, but I'm going to get into it. This is the process of discovering who you really are in him. He's showing you through the isolation stage. He's calling out the bad. He's clearing out the things that would prohibit you from walking with him in a natural way.
Mm-hmm.
We're spiritual beings first.
Right. Yeah.
Wrapped in flesh.
Uh-huh.
We were always spiritual beings first.
Mm-hmm.
And we forget that because what did Abraham? He said, I'm an alien. I'm passing through.
Yeah.
He understood that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have so many more advantages than Abraham did. He didn't have the word, brother. Got to have that word. King James, 1611, with a black cover and gold letters.
Mm-hmm.
Bound. Leather bound.
Mm-hmm.
With a firm spine.
Right.
All right, so you don't know a lot of scripture. That's okay. That is okay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you heard that pop, that's wood popping, by the way. If you don't know a lot of scripture, that's okay. Ask Father to reveal to you what you need today. Well, let's go into that for a minute.
Uh-huh.
Isolation. God's going to change how you look at time. I said that earlier.
Ooh, yeah, there you go. Go with that.
Now let's jump on that monkey for a minute. Uh-huh. You know, it is our circus and it is our monkey.
It's my monkey. It's your circus.
I said service. I meant circus. Sorry.
He just walks with us one day at a time. And, you know, it got with me to where I had to depend on him for just today.
Right.
There's that's something powerful right there.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
That comes from the journey. Comes from all that we're talking about with the isolation. We learn to walk with Him for today. You know, the scripture says, take no thought for tomorrow, for today has enough cares of its own. What does that mean?
Well, I'll tell you, Brother Brent, that just doesn't settle right. We need to plan for tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? We need an agenda, and I can't help it that Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors.
That's the thing that Jesus was teaching. That's the transition, like you said. Think about this concept. And I love that verse you shared. Live for the moment, in the moment, with Father.
Yeah.
Not the scripture says the man may plan his steps, but God directs his course.
Right.
So not that we're not supposed to look to tomorrow, but with Father. I think my Amish accent's coming out. Come see the Father. What Father does is walk with us in the present.
Mm-hmm.
He always meets us in the present. And we need to, with this isolation time, it's experiencing the moment with Him in our presence.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know, okay, here's another good verse. I'll go ahead and share this scripture. Would you like the old preacher to share it, or would
there you like go. It?
Well, I tell you what, trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3:5-6, with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths.
Mm-hmm.
Father takes us, Brent, tell me if this is incorrect, because we're sharing this with these people. From isolation on, He's going to remove your understanding. Your understanding, for a while anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a matter that you understand it. It's a matter of obedience.
Yeah, following it.
Following it. And humility.
Yeah.
And I want to do a couple of podcasts on that. Yeah. A great book. Let me plug this here for you to read if you are in the isolation stage. Is the book by Andrew Murray, Humility.
Yeah, it's a good book.
It is.
It's a quick read, too. I mean, it's not a real lengthy.
No, I think it's just like 68, book, yeah. You know? 68, 70 pages. And that's one of the things that the institution overlooked.
Right, yeah.
They never preached it. They mentioned it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I preach it, it might bring conviction to some hearts. And Father's isolating you, so it's just you and Him. And then you're at the point now that you have to. Now, they use this scripture, and it's outdated. Oh my gosh, Brent, I just said that. If my people who are called by my name will humble
themselves
and pray.
Yes.
And turn from their
wicked ways.
What will He do?
He'll hear from heaven.
Guess what?
He'll heal your land.
Guess what?
That's where we're at right now, isn't it?
That's right.
2 Chronicles 7:14.
Well, here's the thing. He hears us.
Yeah.
He does. And in all of this, Father has elected you who is listening, who started the journey, who's in the isolation stage. Remember this. Father chose you.
Mm.
Many are called.
Few are chosen.
Few are chosen. And he is wanting you. For any preachers that's listening, and I'm sure we have some, maybe we help them put together their Sunday morning service so they can preach against what we say. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing, the ultimate theme we're preaching. One, it's not about religion. It's only about relationship with Father. That's it.
That's right.
You don't have to add anything to it.
It's not by what we do. It's by what Jesus did.
It never was it?
No.
It was never about what we did.
Whether it's good
or bad, it's still bad.
What about all the service that you put into the church for those 18 years, Dan?
Oh, man, tell me about it.
Man, didn't that take you somewhere?
Yeah, it elevated me up to high positions.
There you go.
I tell you what, he did a good job, too. We hate to see him go.
Still hope they break his, God breaks his legs.
Break both of his legs, just go ahead and cut them off.
It's just really sad that when a man desires more and he can't find it, and, you know, he's going to walk away, that they... It really makes you wonder, doesn't it? We talked about that a little while ago, how your perception of those that you thought loved you, how do they really feel? Now is the test.
Yeah, that's right.
Now is the test.
That's when you find it. And let me tell you this, too. In the isolation stage, I said earlier that you were put in with a good group of people. Well, you really are, because it is our belief that those people that Father calls out, taps out on the journey is part of the remnant. And that's people who are willing to follow Father regardless of what anybody else says or does.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, they desire. And here's the other thing in the isolation period time. Father puts a desire in your heart to love him more.
And love others more.
Absolutely. Because when he strips us from all the religion, all the doctrines, is doctrine important? You know, I've had that question asked to me. Only if you're tied into a denomination. Because the debating doctrines, the only thing I found is you make enemies, not friends.
Yeah.
Now, Paul, there was times that Paul, if you want to call it, debated on Mars Hill. He debated with the philosophers of that day. But, you know, here's the thing about it. I can either interpret Scripture one of two ways. I can either interpret it from a biased background of what I've been taught, or I can lay the Word open and pray, Father, let me see this how it is you want me to see it. And it may be different than what I was taught. And that's what Father's doing with the isolation. He's got to strip all that out.
Yeah.
And that takes time, does it not, Grant?
Yeah, it takes time. And Father is faithful, is all I can say. You know, there's a season in the wilderness of quietness and only you and him. But what we have experienced is he's put people in our life. He's put people that come to our fellowship of all walks of life. But ultimately, they've got a heart for relationship.
Right.
And
they want to see something real.
Yeah, that's right.
Not pretend. We've only got like 2 minutes left. For you that are isolated, Father sent me, it's been some years back, to the American Legion in Milan, Tennessee. And there's a lot of good people there. And so my wife and I went, and we sit over in the corner. There was a band playing, and we were listening. And then Father asked me, he said, tell me what you see. I said, Lord, I see people having a good time, joking, laughing. And he asked me this question. He said, do they operate in a certain amount of freedom to be who they are? I said, Lord, they do. They're not hypocrites. They're not pretending to be something or not.
They don't have the Sunday smile?
No, that's right. They
didn't for real?
That's right. And they didn't have a fight before they got in the doors. Now, they might have had a fight in there.
Right.
But, hey, you took my cover. I'll slap you down.
And I said, what is it that I'm supposed to see, Father? And he told me this. He said, my plan was always for you to operate in the freedom in me. But religion has bound you, has become your taskmaster, shackled and bond, put you in bondage.
Hampered it.
Absolutely. And he said, they're not far from it. They don't pretend to be something they're not. They just be who they are. Now, we only have like a minute left, and we'll have to carry that up with the third podcast about in the isolation of learning to be.
Just be.
Just be. Well, this one's been a good one too, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has.
I've enjoyed it. I want to thank our guest, Sister Betty. Oh, you're so welcome, Brother Brent. I appreciate y'all letting me come on, and I want to announce our Sunday morning services.
Hey, you just get out of the way, woman. It's my turn. I want to thank all y'all for listening to this, and if you don't like the journey stuff, you can always come over to my church.
Well, brother, where's your church?
I hadn't figured that out yet. I just go from building to building and start speaking and expect results.
And they listen.
That's right. Listen, we appreciate you listening. Hope you've enjoyed it. Hope the humor is not too bad. We just tried to kind of paint the picture for you, what we've experienced.
And lighten the load at the same time with a little humor.
That's right. Laughter is good. Is a good medicine, I believe the scripture says.
That's what it says, yeah.
Listen, thank you so much, and may God bless you, and we'll be talking to you in the next podcast. I'm Brent.
And I'm Dan.
Welcome to the journey.